is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here today. We're going to talk with County Commissioner Tom Kress. Thanks for coming over.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, we've got a lot of different things to talk about. We've talked to Commissioners Freeman and Boyce more often during the last two or three months, but talk about your role as a commissioner, especially looking at this COVID-19 situation.
So, when the COVID-19 situation became to the level it is now, you know, we have Commissioner Freeman has a delegated authority to do all the health stuff, and that really was 24-hour, all time-consuming. Commissioner Boyce had the economic development piece to try to keep our businesses in the county on track, and that basically left the day-to-day operations of the county for me to run and to really concentrate on. Some of their duties I had to pick up, and was glad to do it. And that's that's been a great teamwork to get this done.
Well, obviously, one of these, this is really an unprecedented situation, but you think about other situations. I mean, it was just over a year ago, we dealt with a snowstorm, and people might pick the snowstorm now over our current situation, but at the time, that seemed, there were so many aspects, so much problems and so many challenges. But this this last 3-4 months seems like it's probably been one of the more challenging times for anybody.
Yeah, it certainly has. I mean, everybody's affected, and I've been on the job now for 18 months. I've had two emergencies. So I don't really know what usual is, especially from January to June. But right now, this is definitely unusual times. It's shaken up, all kinds of things in our departments we've had to change differently. So it's kept us very busy, just keeping on, keeping it on our toes and keeping track of where we need to be.
One of the things that became apparent at the beginning of this was all these different groups kind of partnering up, however you want to term it, with the county to sort of take their professional knowledge base. And you kind of had a whole big team of people from different organizations, particularly on the health side and things like that.
Oh, that was fantastic. When we stood up the Incident Command Center at the beginning of this, and we reached out to the community partners, Mercy Medical, Evergreen, Aviva, Lower Umpqua Health, they willingly sent their people, and we had the best of the best, and we had some staff from our county, and put together a team to develop a plan to take us through, because the worst of projections at that time were we going to have our hospitals overran, and all the doom and gloom that we expected, and we had to be prepared for that. We had to gather the PPE. We had to make sure we had hospital capacity. And those folks came together and really worked. I mean, it was 24 hours a day they were working, and it was awesome to see.
And obviously, things have changed and evolved a bit, though, as we've seen other parts of the country. It's still an unpainted canvas as to where we're going to be going over the next few months.
Yeah, it certainly is. While we've paused the incident command, it is still, the structure is still there. The people are still ready to go at a moment's notice, and the work that they did is still in place. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger if we need to. So we're ready if things get worse. We, obviously hope that they don't, and we can just kind of ride this thing out.
What do you think about the county residents and the business community? How have they handled this situation?
Well, we're talking about something that's never happened in any of our lifetimes, and so it's pretty much uncharted territory. And I feel that there's been a variety of actions, but if you take it as a whole, I think it's been it's been pretty fantastic. You ask businesses to shut down, they did. Many of them to the detriment of their livelihood, and you asked residents to stay inside and until the weather really got nice, I think people really did that. And so the reaction was definitely good.
So for Douglas County, we are in really one of the less affected places, according to Dr. Dannenhofer, really in the world, one of the lowest attack rate counties and in one of the lowest attack rate states. I imagine that kind of colors how we look at this situation in terms of what we see around us, the low numbers we've seen of cases, no deaths yet, one person in the hospital. And then you see other states, even states that are not particularly urban, with just cases exploding.
Yeah, and you know, and it certainly tends to make us a little bit more complacent. There's no doubt about that. But we have, we are more of a socially distanced county to begin with, I think, for a certain degree. And then, you know, a lot of the problems we've had recently has been from people going out of our county and bringing it back in. So, you know, why we have to understand that we don't have it near as bad as some of the other counties. We still are at risk, and we have to be careful.
What about the impact COVID-19 has had on regular county operations? You talked about taking over some things while the other commissioners have been working on different aspects of the COVID-19 response. What kind of departments have seen changes that you've been working on?
Well, immediately we had a problem with our senior services. You know, they, as you probably know, we have the delivery of meals, and we have the dining sites. All those are usually staffed by volunteer groups, and those folks were at that at-risk age. And so rather than, you know, we didn't even give them the choice. We wanted them to stay home. And we, you know, took, retasked people from our departments, Public Works, the Assessor's Office, Fairground staff, our environmental health people, and we had them, you know, delivering meals, you know, and manning the food preparation, so that we could keep the seniors going and without having to use the at-risk volunteers. While at the same time, we had operations like the fairgrounds, you know, that was completely shut down basically for quite a while, and then is only now able to have small events, which, you know, it's an event-driven facility. So we had staff there that we just had to retask to other things.
And obviously for the fairgrounds, I mean, I'm not sure if the county fair has ever been canceled before. So that's not happening coming up. And what about the budget impact of that?
Well, it's huge. You know, it's a major portion of the fairgrounds budget. The fairgrounds is a non-general fund operation, so it has to make it on its own way. So, and the significant portion of it is the fair. So, and we really didn't know that the fair wasn't going to happen until a month or so ago. And a lot of that was simply driven by the fact that, well, the carnival's canceled. They're not coming regardless. The acts have canceled. They're not coming. The FHA and 4-H groups couldn't come because of their own school requirements. So, you know, once it was canceled, yeah, we had to realize that, okay, that revenue's not going to be here. We need to cut expenses now and try to, you know, make sure that we end up in the black at the budget.
Now, with the lack of things happening, were you able to move forward with some projects at the fairgrounds or things that have been talked about, you know, in terms of maintenance or other things like that?
We did that initially while we were retasking those folks. A lot of the fairground staff for quite a while was helping us, like I said, on feeding the senior, you know, people, taking place of the volunteers. And that was kind of a part-time job. The rest of their time, they were doing the maintenance and getting caught up on things. You know, the fairgrounds has got lots of little projects that have been done with the stuff that they could get away with doing, you know, on their own. But yeah, it's in pretty good shape right now and ready to go whenever we can reopen.
So you're a business owner as well. And how has that situation, this COVID-19 situation impacted you, that part of your life?
You know, that's been a tremendous roller coaster. You know, initially I'm thinking, you know, it's end of days, right? Because we're going to shut down. There's nobody going to come in your doors. How are you going to pay your rent? How are you going to pay your people? And for quite a few weeks, it was quite slow and quite quiet. You know, we had to take that time to develop situations within the store that could keep our employees and customers safe, so that if we ever did get the chance to have traffic and work again, you know, we would be within compliance. And then, you know, some of the regulations we've had to do have been kind of onerous, but we're getting through it and we're doing it. It certainly has had an impact on businesses. I've been in a fortunate business where I was allowed to remain open the whole time. I really feel for the ones that have had to close. Some of those are not going to survive.
For some of the products that you have, were there sort of runs on things at different points?
Well, there certainly was. You know, we had initial run on freeze-dried foods, You know, water containers. You know, we've had an ongoing run on guns and ammunition, which always happens during any kind of crisis, but particularly now with the rioting, that's been bad. And frankly, the other impact to my business besides just those runs was the supply chains. You know, we typically buy things quite a long ways out, and the supply chains are really bad. For example, the bicycle side of my store. I have one bicycle in there right now. I've not been able to get a single bicycle this year because the supply of bikes are just not there. You know, we interrupted the supply chain in March and April, and they just have not been able to catch back up yet. So there's several categories, unfortunately, in our stores that are that way.
And I had heard that bike sales had just gone through the roof around the U.S. in all kinds of bikes.
Yeah, and I think that's probably... because people wanted to do things outside, get away. That's a good way to social distance. Families could go out. They had time. Their kids weren't in school, so they wanted to, you know, invest in bicycles and, you know, spend all that time riding. And so they purchased bicycles, and then we didn't have any supply anywhere in the nation. And that became, you know, problematic. However, on the flip side of that, we've had a tremendous amount of bike repairs, and we stay quite busy doing that. So people are resurrecting their old bikes and getting out there on the trail with them.
All right, County Commissioner Tom Kress. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246, at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, News Radio, 1240, KQEN, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. It's Northwest Wine Radio today. And on tomorrow's program, Cavada Garcia will be here from Casa de Blend. Talk about their pause there and what's ahead for that nonprofit organization. County Commissioner Tom Kress with us this afternoon talking about some of the things he's been doing. Now, as a commissioner, you're all normally assigned to different departments that you have liaison relationships with. You mentioned some of that's changed, at least for the short term. For some of the ones you've been working with, though, how is some of those departments, what kind of changes are they making going into the new budget year?
Well, I mentioned the fairgrounds earlier, and that obviously is impacted, you know, big time by this, and we'll have to just see how that goes as we reopen at different levels. We'll have larger gatherings and be able to host larger events. We've got the Public Works Department, which, you know, I'm the liaison for now, has got lots of projects going. We got a little behind because we had so many people being retasked to the senior department, but we're pretty much on schedule now. We've got a bunch of projects going. We're winding up the 99 to Winchester project. We're starting the preliminary work on the Carnes Road Safe Routes to School program that's going from Happy Valley to Highway 42. We've got three bridge replacements happening this summer out in Olalla, and we've got the preliminary engineering starting on the replacement of the Concord Bridge and the Oakland Bridge.
Well, obviously, summertime is when you get a lot of those things done because you get these large windows where you don't have to worry about weather.
Yeah, and we had some early good weather, so it helped that too. But yeah, it's go time now for Public Works. We've chip sealed about 12.5 miles of road so far this summer, and you know, that chip seal program we're ramping up because it saves the county money on asphalt. It allows the asphalt base to last a little longer, and but you can only do that in the summer, so we're thankful for the mild dry weather.
I was out in one of the neighborhoods north of Costco last night, and just in 1 week, even seeing the difference there with the striping and just some of the finish touches that have been, you know, and that project ended up taking a lot longer than expected originally because you get a lot of curveballs, but it definitely looks a lot better than it did for years.
Yeah, that was a challenging project, and it it's continues. It's almost finished with, like you said, some of the last little bullet points being checked off. But when it's done, it will be very nice. It'll serve as a corridor that we've, you know, that, because that's part of Roseburg's urban growth boundary out to the river. And, you know, long term, that will be part of Roseburg.
What about the new budget and some of the departments that you're working with? Of course, the commissioners recently adopted the fiscal year budget, which began in operation just a few days ago. Any big changes?
Well, not really. The budget's probably really similar. I think we're almost, you know, within a couple FTE of last year's budget. The numbers are really similar. I think we're down just a couple million in overall. There's some individual departments, again, that have had big budgets. While we adopted the fairgrounds budget, like I said, it almost as if we were having the fair. That won't actually be the case, and we'll have to make some adjustments there. But most of the departments are pretty similar. You know, the sheriff's department's budget is very similar. However, we've basically lost $1 million of state guaranteed bed money there at the jail, so we had to make that back up. But the overall budget is pretty similar to last year.
And was the issue with the jail, was that because of just some of the changes that have been going on with the number of people that tend to be incarcerated coming from the state level?
Well, it was probably some of that, but it was mostly it's the fact that the state's having its own budget woes. You can imagine right now that the revenues everywhere, whether it be Douglas County or City of Roseburg or the state of Oregon, has got the revenues are down because when you shutter businesses and activity, it definitely changes that. So they're trying to, you know, cut whatever budgetary items they can, and that's one of them they did.
And with the new budget and with some of the uncertainty, you might end up revisiting some of these things as the, you know, we go through summer and fall, depending on income levels?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I'll give you a classic example of that. The Public Works and the Road Department get a tremendous amount of money off gas tax and the travel, and that was projected initially to be down significantly because of COVID-19, and it was down in March, April, May, and made it quite difficult. It's projected to be down in June and July and August, and if I don't believe it'll be down as much as they had initially projected, but it probably is going to be down some. And if it's down over what we've budgeted, we'll have to make an adjustment there.
So you've been in office, you said, 18 months.
18 months.
And it's been interesting because you have had the two emergency situations and a lot of change. You could go through a lot of years backing up where that didn't happen for a long period of time. How different is this job than maybe what you expected when you decided to run for office?
Well, that part of it is definitely different. But, I think more than anything, there's a couple big things that stand out to me. One is that, you know, the expectation of the county commissioners is that we're kind of in charge of everything and able to make everything happen. And honestly, I didn't realize people had that expectation because, you know, there's things within our lane and things that aren't. The state really dictates a lot of what we get to do. And I didn't realize people had that expectation of us. And then the other thing, back to the state, because of our statutory requirements on certain things, just getting things done, whether it building a road or building a building or remodeling an office, is, you know, very time consuming and very, very frustrating to me. It's something that they give me a hard time about because I like to go, and it's really, I got to slow down a little bit. That's something I didn't quite expect.
And that's probably a shift coming from owning a business where you get to decide, and it's your, you know, it's your money on the line, and it works or it doesn't work, versus three of you making decisions, but also all those other factors too.
Yeah, you know, it's good or bad when you own your own business. You have to, you live or die with your decisions. And in this case, you know, while I know there's a lot more on the line and a lot of people, you're working with other people's money, it's still there. It's quite onerous to make some of the decisions and some of the processes we have to go through in order to just get something done.
What about the relationship between the three of you? How does that go? How does that work?
I think it's great teamwork. Honestly, you know, we don't have a lot of conversations. We're working on our own thing. I know that little things that I've been, you know, want projects I wanted to work on, they've been supportive of, and vice versa. So I've not seen any friction there. So, you know, all in all, it seems like it's been a very good team.
All right. County Commissioner Tom Kress, thanks for coming in.
Hey, well, thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.